From the newsroom at Performance Radio, this is local news on Dakota Country 1210 KOKK. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting. The Huron City Commission is set to meet this evening at the Huron Municipal Building. Commissioners will consider a change order for a manhole restoration project. The commission will hear two semi-annual updates tonight, one from the Greater Huron Development Corporation and the second from the Beadle County Humane Society. Commissioners will also consider approval of the annual trailer court license renewals for two of the five trailer courts in Huron. A public hearing will be held regarding a resolution adopting the special assessment role for curb, gutter, and pavement improvements along 22nd Street Southwest near McClellan Drive West. Commissioners will consider revisions to the special assessment procedures. The commission will also consider a number of human resource items, including consideration of full-time status for three employees, consideration of approval of a job description, and a resignation. The Huron City Commission will meet in executive session for negotiations and hold a work session for two items. The Huron City Commission meets tonight at 5:30 p.m. The meeting is open to the public. The Ag Land Assessment Task Force of the South Dakota Legislature met last week in Pierre. Those meetings are held to update members on the progress and any problems associated with the change to productivity-based ag assessments. Member Senator Jason Frericks of Wilmont says they are seeing fewer problems and more understanding.
Really, everything is lining up to what is expected. There's not only been the increases, which are evidence from the commodity prices and the yields that have happened, aside from the drought that happened last year that affected much of the state, the system still works and that there is true equity in ensuring that the top dollar for crop ground is achieved with this productivity model.
Frerich says the only counties they heard are struggling with the new system are those seeing crops replacing long-term pasture land.
It's really counties that are new to the game in terms of raising crops. And again, that is expected. Seeing corn that's raised west of the Missouri River in those counties is fairly recent in terms of what we have experienced. And so it's going to take those counties a little bit to catch things up.
Frerich says they are hearing some friction between the ag land assessments and the possible effects that they could have on non-ag assessments like businesses.
We are realistic of the fact that agriculture has to do its part to pay that property tax bill, which keeps the schools and their local governments operating. But specifically on the school general fund side of things, I think there's a pretty well understanding that ag will meet and exceed that 18% level, and so there's no need for that to be placed in state law. And we're a state that doesn't typically have percentages like that listed in the statute.
The committee will meet at least one more time this fall before the 2014 legislative session starts in January. The U.S. House of Representatives narrowly defeated an amendment last week that would have severely restricted the ability of the NSA to collect data on American citizens. The amendment came following disclosures of the amount of information the NSA was collecting. South Dakota Congresswoman Kristi Noem voted against the amendment.
Well, I've been very concerned about the program, too. And it's something that I've been looking at. I've spent hours in briefings, and some of them are classified briefings about the program and what it does and the information that it pertaining to it. When leaks about the program first came to light, I certainly had those concerns and took action on those. Anytime we're dealing with protecting American lives and individual liberties, we have to have a heightened sense of scrutiny to the program.
Noem says there is a lot of misinformation about what the NSA does and does not do.
To be clear, the NSA is not spying on Americans. By listening to their phone calls or reading their text messages or emails, the program does not involve the content of any phone calls or emails. A content cannot be obtained without a court order based on probable cause. So what the program does do is it is a collection of business records. Numbers that are dialed, the date, the time, and the duration of those calls.
Noem says she supported an alternative amendment that was not as restrictive.
And it made it, that amendment explicitly clear that the government cannot obtain call and email content without a court order based on probable cause. It also made sure that the NSA stays within its constitutional and statutory box It put everyone on the same page as far as what these programs can do and not do, and it made it explicitly clear that the NSA cannot read emails, they can't track websites, monitor or store phone communications of Americans.
Noam says that was a balance between protecting our rights and protecting against another terrorist attack. And a measure that passed out of the House Judiciary Committee last week seeks to end sue and settle litigation that often happens when a private party sues a federal agency like the EPA on the grounds that it has failed to meet a statutory requirement, prompting the agency to settle rather than go ahead with a rule. South Dakota Farm Bureau President Scott Vanderwall says that would help keep federal agencies from doing an end run around Congress and avoiding the oversight.
A lot of these environmental groups and such will sue the EPA, for instance, to try to get them to do something, and then the EPA will say, well, okay, we'll step back and we'll just go halfway or something like that without any input from anybody else.
Vanderwall says his group likes the legislation and supports its intent.
Anything that would restrain these federal agencies from doing that kind of thing without following the proper process would be a good thing. That's been an irritant of ours for a long time.
The legislation calls for sue and settle decrees to be forbidden until all parties affected by the proposed regulation have a chance to participate in settlement negotiations. That is local news on Dakota Country 1210 KOKK. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting. News from across South Dakota is coming up.
News for Huron.
Our detectives did obtain a search warrant for a residence in the southeast part of Huron. Due to the unknown variables and the nature of the warrant, we did elect to use our special response team to make entry and execute the warrant.
And the surrounding area.
We had Woonsocket and Alpena respond for mutual aid to help us. The building was pretty well fully involved when we got here.
With award-winning news director Zach Nelson, only on Performance Radio.
In news across South Dakota, a group of South Dakota residents took to the streets of Sioux Falls to affirm their constitutional rights this weekend. The march by the Sioux Falls chapter of South Dakota Open Carry was meant to highlight responsible gun ownership and the Second Amendment. It is legal in the state to carry firearms in public. Event organizer Jesse Ryerson says the group is trying to change the public perception of firearms. He carried several guns, including a semi-automatic rifle. A handful of people showed up along the route to protest the group's message. Jack Mortensen says guns should be used for hunting, not to show strength. Police say a Rapid City teen is hospitalized in critical condition after she was shot in the head. Authorities say police were called to an apartment building in Rapid City around 3:30 a.m. and found a 17-year-old girl with one gunshot wound to the head. Police say two 17-year-old girls and a 22-year-old man had been drinking and handling a .22-caliber rifle. One of the girls was holding the rifle when it fired at the other girl. The shooter was taken into custody on two warrants for failure to appear in court. Additional charges are possible. The unemployment rate in South Dakota's largest city increased slightly in June. South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation statistics show a 3.4% unemployment rate in Sioux Falls in June, up 3.3% in May, up from 3.3% in May. 4,605 people were reported as unemployed, an increase of 130 from the previous month. The unemployment rate for June of 2012 was 4%. A Canadian-based company wants to mine gold along a stretch of a South Dakota river that was once so badly polluted it was listed as a federal Superfund site. Gold Stake Explorations of Oakville, Ontario, and a Black Hills-based affiliate have received a state permit to begin exploration work next month along Whitewood Creek. Some environmentalists worry that the plan for the 18-mile-long Superfund site will pollute the creek, which is a watershed leading to the Missouri River. Company officials say the permit calls for workers to take care of the land and reclaim the property when the work is done. A 5-year review conducted by the EPA last year concluded that the Superfund site is protective of human health and the environment. Some Rapid City residents beat the heat by taking to the ice for the sport of curling. The Rushmore Curling Club held an open house Saturday at the Roosevelt Ice Arena. The annual event is usually held in winter, but the club decided to try something new. Curling Club President Herb Kissler says that curling is a fun and simple game that allows people to get some exercise. He says the Rapid City Club does not take it that seriously. The season normally runs January through March or April. Rapid City has been selected to host the International Snowmobile Congress in June of 2016. The Congress is a gathering of devoted snowmobile riders. An estimated 500 delegates from the United States, Canada, Sweden, and Russia are expected to attend the event. The International Snowmobile Congress in Rapid City will run June 8th through the 12th of 2016. Lisa Storms with the Rapid City Convention and Visitors Bureau says the city will see an anticipated economic impact of $450,000 during the course of the event. South Dakota operates more than 1,500 miles of snowmobile trails in the winter. And sentencing has been postponed for a Colorado man who pleaded guilty to first-degree manslaughter for the death of a 2-year-old girl. 24-year-old Edward Burgess was scheduled to be sentenced on Friday. The proceedings have been delayed because a pre-sentence investigation is not complete. That is news from across South Dakota. I'm News Director Zach Nelson reporting.